Sitting quietly, once you've made the house all shiny. Downtime can be just fine playing bangers from the 90s.
Tea break, lunch break,
maybe listen to the ad break. Sometimes it's not time for some tombola, right? It's enjoying lasagna time, chilling with a book time, or time to visit your nan time. Go on, play some other time. Put your phone down. Tombola. Open for fun. Terms apply. 18 plus. Gambleaware.org.
Cross. The new series. Only on Prime Video.
You're going to be part of a masterpiece.
Evil knows his name.
Detective Alex Cross.
Where he lives.
He was in my house.
His darkest secret.
And when I'm done, the world will know the truth.
Based on characters created by James Patterson.
I'm not a monster. I don't kill for fun.
Cross. New series. Watch now only on Prime Video.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah. Don't you know? Oops, I forgot to plug in the headphones. I can't hear myself think, as my dad used to say. You boys, calm down. I can't hear myself think. Hey, everybody. It's me, Dave. Welcome to the Boogie Monster Patreon, Dave's Kitchen, bonus, Q, and A. And what is this? For December. Yeah, well, Christmas time, holiday time. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for your patronage. Don't patronize me. No, do patronize me. Seriously, hope everybody's doing well. I really enjoy doing these every month, man. I feel like we got a nice little community here. You guys, it's a community inside of a community. You guys are the MVPs, the VIPs. You know, we've got the Boogie Monster family, but the patrons are a subset of that. I don't know why I'm explaining you how that works, explaining to you how that works, but I'm excited. What I'm saying is I enjoy this every month. I enjoy, I'm getting to know some of you guys, or know your names and handles at least, seeing some of the same names and handles pop up every month. So anyway, really appreciate it. Pardon me. Yeah, hope everybody's doing well. This crap year is almost to a close. However, you know, doesn't really mean much because the same shit could just carry over. But things seem to be looking up, right? With the vaccine, with the changing of the guard. I'll try not to talk politics on the bonus content. Don't want to alienate any patrons who may just, you know. All right, you understand. Guys, let's get into it. You guys have asked some great questions. This month I asked holiday stuff. Regular questions, welcome. Per usual, but any holiday questions, holiday Christmas dinner, whatever you got going on. Before I get into it, I need to give you guys an update of what's going on with me. What's going on in your food world, Dave? That's how you know you're fat when you catch up with friends. You just talk about different food and what you've been eating. And no, I mean like you as a person. How are you? Oh, how am I? Oh, I'm okay, but my barbecue is really. Let's talk food. What? I'm rambling, guys. I'm sorry. I got two Red Bulls in me this morning. I had to wake up and do. I've been doing these. What do you call them? Cameos all morning. I don't know if you saw that. I threw that. Cameo invited me to be a part of the what they call the Cameo Famio, and I guess you got to be a certain level of a D or E list celebrity to join that exclusive group. So they reached out, and during these trying times, I said, what the hell, I could use some extra revenue streams. So I'm doing Cameo this morning, so I've been sending out videos to folks all morning, so that's been fun. I don't know what that has to do with this. Again, too much Red Bull. What I was going to say is, on the last regular Boogie Monster, I believe it was the last one, I was talking to Kyle about my plans for Christmas dinner. And I talked about how I'm going to go all Southern this year. I want to do smoked chicken. I'm going to do pulled pork. I'm going to do fried okra. Maybe a tater tot casserole. Broccoli cheesecake. Anyway, you heard. You know what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. Since then, as I often do, I start second-guessing myself. And now I have a real hankering for some prime rib. And not just any prime rib. I got a hankering for some smoked prime rib. Been studying up on that, watching some YouTube videos, reading some internet articles. I've been reading periodicals on the internet. Been doing some research on smoked prime rib, and I think I'm gonna go that direction. I gotta make up my mind soon. Try to get a prime rib this time of year. A lot of times you gotta pre-order those and whatnot. So I gotta make my mind up soon. But yeah. The plans may be completely changed. Stop the presses. Dave's not doing chicken. Now he's doing beef. Alert the media. But yeah, so I still don't know, but I think I'm leaning towards the smoked prime rib. I've never done a smoked prime rib. I've done a regular traditional prime rib, oven roasted. I've done that before and turned out great, but never messed with a smoked prime rib, but it just, it's calling me. Guys, you got to listen to your gut. And when you got a gut like mine, you better listen close, because it will repeat itself. All right, let's get into this. Great questions this month, as usual. So try to do it chronologically. Let's kick it off with Sawan Talwar. Am I pronouncing that right? Sawan Talwar? Talwar? What condiment food combo surprised you the most with how good it tasted? That's a good question. I think we've had a similar question before. I'm not a huge, weird condiment to food combo guy. I don't get too worked up about putting mayonnaise on a chocolate chip cookie. Although, back when I was touring or tour managing bands, one of our bands, drummer, almost every day, he loved Pop-Tarts, and he would slather butter on a Pop-Tart. And I always thought that was interesting. I never tried that, but that's next-level fat right there, butter on a Pop-Tart. But yeah, Sawan, I'm not a huge fan of... I mean, I'm not opposed to it, just nothing really gets me too excited with those weird combos. I guess this isn't a weird combo, but it's one I definitely love. I love cold mac and cheese. Leftover mac and cheese, it's in the fridge, don't even heat it up, and then dumping some nice hot sauce on that. Something about cold mac and cheese and hot sauce really gets me going. So I know that's not that weird, but that's the closest answer I could think of that's slightly outside the box. Everything else, I'm just pretty straightforward, you know, whatever's supposed... I whatever the chef recommends. And it's funny to say chef, like when I'm talking about like fast food or something, but like however the dish is meant to be made is how I like to enjoy it, with some exceptions here and there, but usually whatever the intention, the spirit of the dish is what I try to follow. So yeah, nothing exciting. No you know, maple syrup on a burrito. I know some of that stuff. I know you guys could probably rattle off several great examples. I know a lot of that stuff works out, even though it doesn't sound like it would, but just doesn't do much for me. Or maybe I haven't found the right combination yet, so we'll see. But yeah, Ray McScriff commented on Sawan's thing. Recently, I've been making jalapeno poppers in an air fryer and dipping them in Chick-fil-A sauce. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I could see how that would be good. Good job, Ray. Anyway, I hope that answers your question there, Sawan. Scrim Jab, what's up, Dave? What are your top three breakfast egg preparations? Probably number one would have to be a good soft scramble. I love a soft scramble with a little American or cheddar cheese and some sautéed onions. I think that's a good time. I like a nice soft scramble, a little cheese, a little onion. Number two, probably just a straight-up fried egg over medium. That's what I ate growing up. My mom used to make over medium, and I would just smash, and I still do. When I eat fried eggs, I don't cut them the way you're supposed to cut them with a fork. I smash them. I turn the fork into like a masher, and I like to, I'll cut them up a little bit to make the mashing easier, but I like to treat my fork like a potato masher and just kind of mash those over medium eggs up, get all that yolk running around everywhere. Sop that up with some toast or a biscuit. So I like, that's probably number two. Number three, I love a really thin omelet, almost like a crepe. And I think I've talked about that before. The key to getting that thin omelet is using a bigger pan than what you think you need. That way it spreads out further, therefore spreads out thinner when you're cooking it. So yeah, that's probably my top three there. Sorry, I sound like Kyle. Probably my top three there. Soft scramble, over medium, mashed up, and then a very thin omelet. So, yeah. Lee Singleton, what's up, Lee? I'm thinking about making a standard rib roast for Christmas. Oh, my God, Lee. Great minds think alike. But considering I dropped the Thanksgiving turkey on the floor. Did you really? Lee, you dropped the Thanksgiving turkey on the floor? The Super Bowl of dinners, and you fumbled. You fumble rooskied. Oh, man. Yeah. Sitting here making fun of Lee for dropping a turkey. At least he didn't burn a cabin down. Better luck next time, Lee. My question, Dave, your favorite Christmas dessert? It's a good question, Lee. Favorite Christmas dessert off the top of my head would probably have to be a pecan pie or a chocolate pecan pie. And by the way, I'm from Georgia. I got southern roots running all through my blood, and I still am unclear if it's pecan or pecan. I always just call it pecan. I still don't know what the rule is. If you're from here, you call it pecan. If you're from there, you call it pecan. I just call it pecan. I got no problem with people who call it pecan. But pecan sounds a little less hillbilly, so I say pecan. Yeah, pecan pie or a chocolate pecan pie, Lee. Probably my favorite in terms of the traditional. I'm trying to think. I mean, banana pudding I love, but I don't know if that's necessarily like a winter or holiday dessert. But yeah, I'm gonna do a chocolate pecan pie this year. So. Here you go, man. Alexandra Honesto. Hey, Dave. Any recommendations for easy DIY items that are cheaper and easier to make instead of buying? Example, I finally got the dough figured out, and I make my own flour tortillas. I haven't bought a pack since the beginning of summer. Man, that's something I got to look into, Alexandra. Oh, boy. This Red Bull's. I feared, I second-guessed that I mispronounced your name, Alexandra, but I think I pronounced it right. That's good, man. Good on you for making your own flour tortillas. I got to figure out how to do that. That sounds great. I guess my version, I've said this before, but I don't understand why anybody would buy instant mashed potatoes or even like the store-bought, the ones that they prep for you there on the deli counter or whatever. I don't understand why anybody would do that. It's literally the easiest thing in the world. I mean, it takes a little while to boil those potatoes, but once you boil them up, boom, throw them in a pot, smash them up, a little milk or heavy cream, a little butter, a little salt and pepper, maybe some garlic, maybe a little rosemary, boom, 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 easy as pie. Biscuits, too. Biscuits, not necessarily easy. Biscuits are messy and time-consuming, but well worth it as opposed to any pre-made biscuit that you're going to buy. Although I'm not opposed to the occasional canned biscuit, but it's a whole different animal. It doesn't really, you can't compare it to a homemade biscuit. But yeah, probably mashed potatoes, my favorite DIY, better than anything else version. Carl Fisher, if you could establish a dish in the Pacific Northwest, what would it be? I don't know. I've been up there several times. I love Pacific Northwest. I'm so jealous of Kyle living in Oregon right now. I love Oregon. I love Washington. I love that whole area. But every time I go up there, like I do Seattle. I try to do Seattle and Portland at least once every year and a half, 2 years. But every time I go up there, I'm always like, hey, guys, what are we eating? Let's go eat some salmon. What do we do? And I've had so many responses like, yeah, I don't know. We're not really known for our food. So I don't really know what the cuisine of culture there is in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, I know salmon's big just because the access to it there. But yeah, I don't really know. So I'm always, being a Southern guy, I'm always trying to be a, what's the word I'm looking for? Ambassador. I'm trying to be an ambassador for Southern food. So I think some sort of Southern, pardon me. Got a scratchy throat. I think some sort of Southern food. Could have just hit pause, Dave. Nope. Maybe a good gumbo. Maybe like a good Cajun style gumbo. Maybe, I mean, chili's not, you know, technically Southern per se, but maybe a good chili. Maybe just more fried foods. Maybe just really good Southern fried chicken or fried green tomatoes or something like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I've always said I wanted to go to a cold weather city and start a soup food truck. So, boy, maybe that would be the thing to do there, Carl. I move up to Portland, start, what did I call it? The Stew Crew. Have a big old black, like tactical SWAT van looking food truck. And Stew Crew. And I would definitely do my Texas red chili. I'd do my white bean chicken chili. I'd do my chicken and sausage gumbo. Up there, I would have access to great seafood, I would imagine. So I'd do my seafood gumbo. I'd do my chicken tortilla soup. Yeah. Maybe some good soups up there. Boogie Spooky, how would Dave make an over-the-top PB&J? Okay. PB&J, not necessarily over-the-top, but man, when I was in elementary school, I think I've talked about this on the Boogie Monster, whenever we'd go on a field trip and they'd make us sack lunches. I don't know if they did this at your elementary school, but like sometimes on a field trip, they'd be like, hey, we're going to the zoo and then we're all going to this burger joint. So bring some cash. But then sometimes they would just give us sack lunches in lieu of our regular cafeteria lunch. And inevitably, it'd always be a PB&J. But I never saw this anywhere else but my elementary school. I guess it was more of a P&H. A PB&H, peanut butter and honey. I don't remember a whole lot of jelly involved, but something. I think they would just take the peanut butter and then mix in honey, and then just make that spread, just one spread there, kind of a honey-based peanut butter. But man, that was so good on that shitty, cheap white bread, and they'd mash it down. Something about honey and peanut butter. So yeah, I'd probably do that, and then give it a light toast, a light fry. Grilled cheese style, you know, in the skillet, a little butter, toasted up a little bit. Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Not that over the top, but boy, that'd be good. Harmless Monster. I've had a big boneless chuck roast in the freezer for a few months, and I need to finally cook it. What's your pot roast technique? Oven or slow cooker? Or would you recommend a different recipe or roast approach altogether? I've said before, not a big fan of pot roast. It bores the hell out of me. Pot roast... usually, you know, kind of a cheaper cut, not a ton of fat on it. I don't like slow cooker stuff. I think it just turns it into mush. So I wouldn't even do a pot roast, a traditional pot roast if it were me. I have talked about how I replaced the chuck roast or the pot roast with beef short ribs. I love that style. Kind of the old pot roast flavors, you know, with the potatoes and the carrots and the onions and the whatnot. But instead of a chuck roast, I do beef short ribs. That's fun. But what you could also do if you had that chuck roast Harmless Monster is maybe chop it up into chunks and make a Mexican-style barbacoa out of it. Take that roast, chop it into like, you know, 2-inch by 2-inch cubes or chunks, sear them off on all sides, and then throw them in the Dutch oven or some sort of stock pot, and then add some beef stock and all your onions, and then maybe some Mexican spices. Get some of that tajin you know, all that stuff. So, you know, some cayenne, some garlic powder, some onion powder, some paprika and whatnot, and just stew that shit all day, that slow stew. And then, you know, after several hours, you're just going to have this fall apart, tender, spicy, stewy, almost shredded beef type thing going on. And then make some hook up with old, who had that? Alexandra, hook up with her and get some of those homemade tortillas. And boom, then you got some barbacoa tacos. That sounds good to me. But yeah, traditional pot roast always kind of bored me. So I'm always looking for alternates there. Where are we at? Ariel Martin. Every Christmas, my mom, abuela, and I make pork tamales. Hell yeah, you do. This year, unfortunately, will be different, of course. What's your favorite type of tamales, if at all? Probably pork. Pork tamales, Ariel. I like all the tamales. I like a chicken tamale. I like a pork. I like a mole, if possible. I've had that somewhere. I don't know if that's like a traditional thing. I know mole is kind of its own beast there, but somewhere in Atlanta had mole tamales, and they put that mole sauce on top and chicken and into the masa there. Mm. Yeah, I'd go with pork, though. Anything pork. Pork tamale sounds good.
So, you want to be a marketer. It's easy. You just have to score a ton of leads and figure out a way to turn them all into customers. Plus, manage a dozen channels, write a million blogs, and launch 100 campaigns all at once. When that's done, simply make your socials go viral and bring in record profits. No sweat. Okay, fine. It's a lot of sweat. But with HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools, launching benchmark-breaking campaigns is easier than ever. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
Do we really need another computer? One that's faster, more powerful? Not everyone does. But to reinvent music using a neural processor, work off the grid with all-day battery, or bring your vision to life with AI-powered Co-Creator, then a Copilot Plus PC can make a difference. A powerful AI computer is not for everyone. But if you're trying to change the world, even if just your own, we built one for you. Microsoft Copilot Plus PCs powered by Snapdragon. The fastest, most intelligent Windows PCs ever. Battery life varies with usage and settings.
William Shoulders. It's cold out, so I just made a batch of chile. I don't know why. I'm not making fun of Latin people, but I love, and I'm not saying Williams is Latin, but he spelled it C-H-I-L-E instead of I-L-I. I love it when Latin people talk about chile. Chile. I'm going to get some chiles and throw them in. Okay, stop it, Dave. No, not making fun. If anything, I'm admiring the accent. All right. Focus, Dave, focus. It's cold out, so I made a batch of chile tonight. Had it with some Fritos and cheddar cheese. Hell yeah, you did. And I had a slice of cornbread with butter off to the course, too. With butter off to the, of course, that's all right. Missed a word, I probably. Don't really have it much until it gets cold out, which down here in Austin ain't too often. I want to make some sort of stew with pork broth here soon since I just discovered it. So if you have any suggestions, oh boy, I've never made a pork stew. Oh, okay. Yes, I have, dumbass. I never made a pork stew, but I made Brunswick stew. Brunswick stew is essentially a pork, a southern barbecue style pork stew. I thought we had someone knocking on the door. William, if you don't know about Brunswick stew, maybe research that. That's something you could do great with a pork shoulder. And some pork broth, just throw in some stewed tomatoes, maybe a little okra, maybe some lima beans, maybe some niblet corn, whatever spices you want. You could go that route, or you could do like a Mexican style pork stew. Go much like the barbacoa I just mentioned. You know, go Mexican flavors with that. But yeah, man, you got you some pork broth. Man, I say have fun with it, William. I say just, you know, kind of make it your own. But that does sound, yeah. If I had a pork shoulder and some pork broth, my first instinct would be a Brunswick stew and then maybe some sort of Mexican pork stew. So well, there you go, William. John Baker, Christmas Eve, we always have, I never know how to pronounce this, Chopino? I know it's not Siopino, the way it's spelled. I don't know how to pronounce that. But I know what you're talking about. That's the seafood soup, right? Or seafood stew. On Christmas morning, we have crepes with lingonberry jam and a Swedish potato sausage called potatoskorv. I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it. Oh, I'm so stupid. I eat my weight in that potato sausage. If you gave me half a chance for Christmas dinner, all I want is a big plate of ham and au gratin potato. Oh, yeah, ham and au gratin potatoes. That's good. Yeah, no question. Just answering my question. What's on your menu? Thanks, John. That sounds great. Whatever potato sausage is, sign me up. That's where they take all the shitty parts of the potato that fall on the floor, and they grind them up and put them in a sheep's intestine. That does sound good. Whatever it is, potato sausage sounds good. Ian Bowers. What's up, Ian? I always try to get my family to cook a goose for Christmas, but they always veto the suggestion because they're cowards. Fucking cowards. You got any experience with non-chicken or turkey birds? I do not, Ian. I have zero. Would you believe that I've never even tasted duck? I have no idea. Never had it. I'm not opposed to it. Just, I feel like duck was always like a class thing. I always thought that was like a high society aristocrat type dish. And growing up in Georgia, middle to middle lower class, lower middle class, never had much exposure to duck or goose or anything of that nature. So yeah, absolutely no. Have I had pheasant? I feel like I've had quail. I've never cooked it. But yeah, never had goose, never had duck. Don't know nothing about it, Ian. Don't know nothing about it, and there's nothing we could do. Eric Price, I'm doing a small 3-bone prime rib for Christmas. Any thoughts on smoking it versus just cooking it indirect? Well, I think I already answered that question, Eric. Smoke that bastard. Tons of great videos on YouTube. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on smoked prime rib. I've never done it, although I do have a pretty good grasp on smoking techniques in general. Does not seem that difficult. Does not seem very difficult. I think what I'm noticing is not just a rub, but a lot of people are doing kind of a coarse herb-based rub, taking whatever rub you would normally use on a steak or a brisket or something of that nature, and then adding like a fresh chopped rosemary and thyme, maybe a little sage. But yeah, that's the only thing really different I noticed is the use of fresh herbs, and I could see how that would be beneficial to that overall flavor. But if it were me, I'd smoke it, man. I'd give that a go because it looks great. And like I said, I've never done it, but however, I did. In a way, I've done it because I talked about this several months ago when Katie first got me the Traeger. I was just goofing off, and I threw some ribeye steaks on there, and essentially that's the same thing. I mean, a prime rib is just the rib loin, or the rib loin? Yeah, the rib part. Anyway, ribeye steaks, they come from prime rib. When two prime ribs love each other, then a little later, a ribeye steak comes out. But yeah, essentially the same thing. And I've had the single ribeye steak smoked on the Traeger and it was delicious. So, now I'm just thinking about, going even bigger with the rib roast. So, I'm thinking about doing a 3-bone as well, Eric. So yeah, give that a go. Who'd I watch, on YouTube? I don't know. Just get on YouTube and type in smoked, prime rib. There's dozens of videos, but I can't remember whose video really stuck with me, but, there's a lot there that you can learn. So check that out, Eric, if you want to go that route. Nick Toma, Dave, what is the finest way to cook potatoes? I've talked about mashed potatoes. That's the easiest, and I do enjoy mashed potato. Maybe my favorite prep on a potato is a twice-baked potato. That's big in the South. When I lived in Cumming, Georgia, anybody in Forsyth County, Georgia, back in the day might remember a barbecue restaurant called Pappy Red's. And I don't think they're around anymore. But Pappy Red's barbecue was solid. Wasn't the best I've ever had, but solid. But really, the showstopper at Pappy Red's was their twice-baked potato. And they had these damn baked potatoes. They were the size of, like, footballs. I mean, it was huge. It looked like a 3-pound potato. And what you do, it's pretty simple. You bake it about halfway or three-fourths of the way, however long you bake a baked potato. What's a baked potato? What, about an hour? About an hour 20, average baked potato? This is just off the top of my head, but if I were baking a twice-baked potato right now, I'd bake it for 45, 50 minutes, pull it out, let it cool. Then with a spoon, you kind of treat the spoon like a knife, and you carve, just like if you're carving the lid off of a bread bowl. Just pretend that the potato is a big bread, and you want to make a bread bowl out of it. Well, you carve off that top there, but you got to be careful. Well, you probably do this part with a knife. I'm sorry. With a knife, be real careful so it all stays intact and stays pretty, but kind of carve out the lid, if you will, of the potato, and then peel that off. Then with a spoon, you go around and you carve out a big hole or a canyon inside the potato, and you just spoon it out, and you try to keep it nice and symmetrical and keep it neat, but you spoon out and you carve out most of the meat of the potato. You don't want to go too deep and wide because then the potato will kind of fall apart. So you want to get as much meat, if you will, out of that potato with it still maintaining its structural integrity, if you will. Now you take all that potato meat, potato sausage, potato meat, throw that shit in a bowl and mash it up like you would mashed potatoes. Then you add some sour cream, you add some butter, you can add some shredded cheese, you can add some seasoning, you can add some herbs, do whatever the hell you want. You can even add sauteed onions and garlic, whatever you want. But you just imagine making just like the dopest loaded mashed potatoes. Then you mix all that shit up, then you spoon that back into the potato shell. Spoon that back in nice and carefully. Get as much in it as you can, make it overflowing. Then you top that off with some nice shredded cheddar. Throw it back in the oven for about another 15, 20 minutes. And when it comes out, oh boy, that is a damn delight. A damn delight. And it's an impressive presentation as well. You throw that on the Christmas dinner table. Get you a whole tray of these twice baked potatoes. Oh man, with that melted cheese all over the place. And then they think, oh, it's just a baked potato with cheese on it. Then they penetrate that cheese and get into that potato meat. And then you see all that creamy goodness. Oh boy. Oh boy. Getting a food boner. Calm down, Dave. Good question, Nick. Harmless monster again. Why not? Another one. I've made both your beef and chicken chili recipes to great success. The beef one was one of the best things I've ever cooked myself. Thank you. I'd like to make some for my family, but they can't handle spice at all. Any tips for making chili with near zero heat that's still delicious? Absolutely. Katie, not a huge fan of spice. Just sometimes when I think oh, this isn't spicy at all. And then she's like, oh, I can't even eat it. Yeah, that's a simple fix. Replace the poblanos. My chili recipe, my Texas red chili recipe, calls for poblanos or pasilla peppers, which aren't spicy. They're really not. They got a little spice, but it's nothing like a jalapeno or anything like that. But replace those with just green or red bell peppers. Do everything the same roasting technique, same puree technique. But use bell peppers. I'm not a huge fan of the flavor of the green, so I always use red. But yeah, whatever your liking is, replace the poblanos with bell peppers, and then leave out any cayenne. I think I call for a little bit of cayenne pepper. So leave out the cayenne and trade the poblanos for bells, and you should be good to go. There you go, bud. Charlie, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Okay. Charlie's been, Katie's been working a lot lately. She's her little training business is really booming right now. Not booming, but she's working pretty much every day now, or at least weekday. She's working 4 or 5 days a week, and that's a big change because before she wasn't. And little Charlie, he's just so depressed all day. He just sits on the couch and looks out the window waiting for her to come home. It's so sad. But you all right, bud? He's looking at me like I'm an idiot. Anyway, where are we at? Nick Click. Hey, Dave, what's your favorite Christmas cookie? Somebody else asked this. I guess I'm an idiot. I don't really know what you mean by Christmas cookie. When I think of Christmas cookies, are we talking about that tin of little hard, crumbly cookies that come in the little cup, the Reese's cup paper, you know? I mean, all those are fine, but I can't really distinguish one from the other. You know, you're talking about decorated sugar cookies with sprinkles and Santa Claus hats on them. I don't know. My favorite cookie, just a good homemade chocolate chip cookie. I like a good warm homemade chocolate chip. So all the little fancy decorated, they're fine, but I could take them or leave them. You know, what is it, like the shortbread? They're all kind of crumbly and dry. I tell you what's an underrated cookie, an underrated store-bought cookie that people always ignore is that little, usually at the top shelf, there's usually only a few bags of them up on the top shelf of the cookies, that little pink bag of wedding cookies. Now, that they don't sound great because they're kind of crumbly and they got the powdered sugar all over them, but something about those wedding cookies, boy, those are good. You can house a few bags of those with no trouble. Bartender of the Apocalypse. I'm at work on and before Christmas. I want to grill up some Christmas steaks, but that won't be a thing because work sucks and no holiday overtime because where I live is a slave labor state. If only indoor grilling with a general smokeless option is all that's available to you, what would you try to make? Either on an electric grill or non-broiler, oven or stovetop. Very important thing being relatively smokeless. I'm still thinking steaks on an indoor smokeless electric grill while charring the fatty parts with a handheld propane. Wow, okay. You're going to char the fatty parts with a handheld propane torch. I'm not mocking you, per se. That caught me off guard because, boy, that's a fancy technique, like you're doing a creme brulee. I don't know if you know my technique, Bartender of the Apocalypse. Very simple. Cast iron skillet. If you don't have a cast iron skillet, any kind of heavy bottom frying pan would also work. But, man, that I prefer that over a grill. I've said this before, everybody loves the theory of grilled steaks, and I do too. I like the open flame, I like the charbroil flavor, but if we're being honest, the best way to cook it is not on the grill. It dries it out a little bit, in my opinion. Do it in a pan, baste it with some butter. There's a couple of different ways you could do it. You could do just the real simple, get that pan, throw the pan on, get it hot as it'll go, high heat until it starts smoking. Rub your steak down with a little bit of olive or vegetable oil, hit it with some kosher salt, some black pepper, throw that sucker in there, cook it for, depending on the thickness, about 2.5 minutes, depending on the thickness on that first side. Once that's done, you're basically only flipping it once. You're throwing it in one side. When that side's cooked, you flip it once. On that second side, throw in some butter. You could also beforehand throw in some whole garlic cloves. And about halfway through the second side cook, start basting that melted butter that's been sitting in that garlic and stuff. Baste that steak with the butter. And boy, that's a good one. There's a reverse sear technique you can do where you can start it in the broiler or the oven and then finish it on the stovetop. There's the opposite version of that too, where you can start it in the pan on the stovetop and then finish it in the broiler or the oven. But yeah, if you're worried about smokeless options stuff, do not worry, because if I had all of the options available to me, I would probably still choose cooking it indoors in a frying pan. So give that a shot, Apocalypse. John Boylan, Dave, is Christmas a better cooking holiday than Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is my fave. I think Thanksgiving's the best because there's no other distractions. Obviously, you know, Christmas dinner is a great time, but there's so much else going on. You know, there's gifts and there's trees and decorations. And whereas Thanksgiving, really, there's nothing else. There's nothing to distract you. You can put your blinders on, put your sweatpants on, and like today is about eating. Where Christmas, there's just other stuff going on. So, yes, as excited I am about Christmas dinner, I don't think it tops Thanksgiving. So, there you go. Jimmy Chernega. Hey, Dave, have you heard of drunken carrots? I think I have heard somebody talk about this. My family makes them for major holidays every year. It involves lots of butter and triple sec liqueur that has been cooked down into a sauce for the parboiled carrots. Oh, boy, salt, pepper, and that's it. Oh, boy. Jimmy, that sounds great, buddy. Thank you. I might try that. I've been doing a lot of roasted vegetables lately. Trying to eat more veggies, I'd like to blame it on quarantine. Trying to shed this quarantine weight, but it looks like I've been in quarantine for about 35 years. But yeah, just, you know, trying to get healthier now that I got the treadmill and stuff. So I've been doing a lot of just oven-roasted veggies and doing a lot of whole carrots. Get, like, the good organic fancy carrots that still got the shit on them. You know, not the shit, but the foliage. And get the, you know, peel those off and I usually just drizzle them with a little olive oil, salt, and pepper, throw them in the oven, and roast them. But, boy, I like what you're talking about there, Jimmy. I may give that a shot. Thanks, man. Meaty Gonzalez. A while back, there was talk of Dave and Kyle, of a Dave and Kyle project, maybe even a pilot. Can you share more? Yeah, we talked about that. You may have missed it, Meaty. We shot a pilot for TBS, and it went great. We shot it last Halloween, and it was a lot of fun. And Katie's home. Hey, Katie.
Hello.
Say hello to the patrons.
Oh, hi, patrons.
I'll pause it here in a minute and help you out with whatever you got there. But let me finish this one question. We shot the pilot in Arizona last Halloween of 19. It was a lot of fun. The actual pilot I thought was great. Saw a bunch of paranormal stuff. It was just called The Boogie Monster. And basically just a travel show. Kind of like... an Anthony Bourdain type show, but with two idiots looking for ghosts and Bigfoot. So it was a lot of fun. It was with TBS. And they always do that, not to give you too much inside show business bullshit, but this is the fifth pilot I've done. The fifth pilot. I'm 0 for 5. But they always, for some reason, before you even shoot the pilot, you have to do all the legal stuff and all the financial and the contracts. And here's if this gets picked up, they tell you how much money you're going to make. And it was so much money. And they're like, yeah, if this gets picked up, you'll make this per episode. And, if it goes season 2, you get a pay raise. If it goes season 3, you get even more. I mean, it was ridiculous. I feel like I shouldn't tell you how much, but it was ridiculous. It was a lot of money. And then they were like, yeah, if it does get picked up, you'll probably do about 20 episodes a season. So then you start multiplying that figure by 20 and you get your fucking hopes up and you're like, oh my, you know, and I knew it's not going to make me rich and famous overnight, but pretty, pretty good. And, everybody was whispering in our ear, oh, the executives love it. The head of the network loves it. They're trying to figure out, we're going to pair you up with this sitcom and, you know, put you on Thursday night right after this show. And, oh, boy. Nope, didn't get picked up. You know what happened? Everybody loved it. The network loved it. The head of the network loved it. We shot it. Looked great. Kyle was excited. I was excited. And then somewhere in that process after we shot it, the head of the network quit, took another job. They brought in a new president of TBS, and... as is the case with many of those exchanges of power, the new boss is not very interested in the projects that the old boss had came up with. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, all this stuff, no, we're not going to do that. So there you go, Meaty. Thanks for bringing it up, Meaty. I will say this. I don't know if Kyle – it's not a big deal because I'm not getting my hopes up. There's still a glimmer of hope for that project, apparently, I'm not going to say who, but apparently a major streaming service network is interested. So I'll believe it when I see it. So who knows? Who knows? But no, I don't mean to be negative, but it just, you don't understand, like being in Hollywood, being in show business, like the fifth one I've done. And then every time you're like, could this be the one that gets me out of the van, that gets me, you know, to that next level, not just financially, but, you know, just exposure. You know, once you make it to that certain level, once you get on a show or a movie that has a certain amount of popularity, things tend to get a little easier from there because you're known, you're a commodity. Oh, that show worked, so we'll probably hire him for this show. So it's just, if you can ever get to that one thing that kind of pushes you over the hill, then it just all snowballs in a good way down the hill, and next thing you know, you got a huge, big, lucrative career. But getting to that point is the hard part. So anyway, no, I'm not bitter. Thanks for bringing it up, Meaty. Sean Devlin. Hey, Dave, have you got any holiday drinks of choice? I made some candy cane moonshine as a gift for friends and family this year and was wondering if you have a favorite drink for this season. That sounds great, by the way. Not really. My alcohol doesn't really change with the season. I'm not a big fan of, like, hot drinks, you know, hot toddies. I know, you know, the hot apple cider stuff. In theory, that all sounds great. My palate, I just don't like hot drinks. First of all, it's just a pain in the ass, you know, drinking coffee. Harvey, what are you doing, buddy? Harvey's on the table. Always hate it's just all too hot. You know, burn my tongue so many times. I'm done with it. I'm over it. But no, my, like I said, it doesn't change with the season. But I do drink more during Christmas. I do love just, chilling out at night, you know, looking at the tree, drinking some bourbon, big bourbon guy. So, like it on the rock, depending on what, not every brand that I like on the rocks. I guess I try to cut back on this because all the sugar, but my favorite drink's just a bourbon and Coke. Specifically, probably a Jim Beam Black. I love Jim Beam Black. I love Bullet. Those are probably my two favorites. But yeah, that with a splash of Coke, oh boy, that's a good time. But I'll drink it on the rocks. I'll drink it with soda when I'm watching the calories. But yeah, nothing really changes over the holidays. Although I need to try, this year I'm going to commit myself. I'm going to get disciplined. I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to try different alcoholic drinks. but I would like some candy cane moonshine or some silly shit. I like eggnog. I didn't think I liked eggnog until, if you remember, patrons, a couple years ago, I guess what, maybe 2 years ago right now. Was it 2 years ago or 1 year ago? It was 2 years ago that my buddy Ryan Singer was on Dave's Kitchen, and he showed us how to make homemade eggnog. And that was just like a liquid sugar cookie. That was amazing. So yeah, maybe I'll get Ryan to make me some eggnog this year. That'll be fun. Where are we at? Sidlicious. Merry Christmas, boys. Planning on doing a decent-sized turkey and some burn-ins in the smoker. There you go. Do I have to worry about adjusting for time or temp if there's too much meat in there? Yes. It's not packed, but it's definitely the most meat I've made. Most meat I've had in there at one time. Giggity. Giggity. Other than that, just drinking copious amounts of alcohol and sitting around. Be safe, everyone. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much meat you've got crammed in there, Sid. But yeah, it's just like anything with cooking, whether it be the smoker, whether it be your skillet. If you got too much in there, it's going to alter the overall cooking time. So just figure out how to adjust. But yeah, there'll definitely be some adjustment there. So good luck with that. All right, moving right along. Daniel Rodriguez. I'm going to attempt a turkey mole this year. Holy shit, Daniel. With homemade flour tortillas. Mole is the national dish of Mexico, the kind of thing every grandma has their own take on. And if you ever had a homemade flour tortilla, you'll never go back, Dave. Have you ever attempted a traditional family recipe? If so, how did it go? I've talked about this a lot. My family has no traditional family recipes other than maybe Mama's hot dog casserole. My mom was not a very good cook. My grandmother was a terrible cook. No family recipes. That's the one thing I do owe it to them. I owe my cooking skills and chops to my mother and my grandmother simply because they couldn't cook very well, and that motivated me to learn how to cook. So yeah, no family recipes, although that turkey mole sounds dope. I never even thought about that. Chicken mole you always hear about, but turkey mole. Yeah, unfortunately, Daniel, no family recipes. So Maybe, and I'm not going to have any kids, so my recipes are just going to die with me. So it's up to you guys to carry on my traditions. All right. Kyle Jimmy Johnson. Hey, Dave, have you ever thought about publishing your cookbook? I have. Maybe one day I'll combine all the volumes and do a nice little hardback or something. But, yeah, I'll look into that. Actually, I've talked about this, but I do plan on putting out a volume 4 in the next few months. I got a guy who's reached out to help me, a graphic designer. If you have the books, hopefully you've noticed that the recipes are really good, but probably lacking a little bit in the graphic design. Not necessarily my forte, although I do make all my own posters and stuff, tour posters, but I don't really know much beyond that. But yeah, I'm going to combine all of those. So volume 4 will be kind of a compilation, if you will. It'll be all the 3 previous, and then I'll have a new batch that would be volume 4. So just combine all those and have some better pics and some better graphics and whatnot. But still, at this point, still in PDF form. And hopefully one day soon, I can figure out how to publish an actual hardback. So that'd be nice. Freezer, a handle simply called Freezer. How can I fancy up my meatloaf? Huh. How can you fancy up your meatloaf? You ever thought about smoking that beef? Smoking that shit? You could smoke the ground beef beforehand, or you could mold it, do everything you normally do, but instead of putting it in the oven, you put it in the smoker. Somewhere I had a smoked meatloaf, and it was fantastic. I don't know much about meatloaf, as far as the traditional methods to make it fancier, but I have had a smoked meatloaf, and it was delicious. Matt Brewster chimed in on Freezer's question. I'm not Dave, but my partner did an Asian meatloaf. She used hoisin with ketchup as the glaze. Pablo bread crumb. Pablo? Or pink? I almost said pinko. Communist breadcrumbs. What was it? Panko. He said Pablo. I'm wondering if that was a typo, or it could be Pablo bread. I never heard of Pablo bread. And scallions instead of onions. It was delicious. Thank you, Matt. Sounds pretty good. John Terrell, maybe you can help me with my decision on the primary protein for Christmas supper. I'm torn between either duck or bone-in prime rib. Duck feels more traditional. I'm kind of excited for the challenge to make a nice and crispy, juicy bird. But on the other hand, prime rib, hoo boy. Like I said before, I don't know anything about duck, so if you're asking me, I would go with that bone-in prime rib. Yeah, I'm on a real prime rib kick lately. Mm. And if I do the smoked prime rib, I'm going to make like the creamy horseradish sauce too. A little mayo, excuse me, a little mayo, a little sour cream, a little horseradish, some fresh herbs, some seasoning. Mm. All right, where are we at? Got, what do we got? Jeff, hey Dave, Merry Christmas to you and Katie. I'm going to try the White Castle sliders as a dressing rather than a stuffing since my wife was not enthusiastic with the idea, as my kids and I are. Are you going to try something new or different this year? Oh yeah, I know I'm being redundant here because I understand, you know, people ask the same question. When you give these questions, you don't know who else is going to ask the same question. So that's fine. I'm not... No problem there, but yeah, I'm not going to repeat. But yeah, probably do prime rib. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. I like the idea, though, of that White Castle sliders as dressing rather than stuffing. Yeah, I would think dressing would be the way to go there rather than cramming it up the bird. But yeah, let me know how that turns out, Jeff. Take a picture of that or something. Send it to me. That sounds great. Oh, Savage Cabbage. What's up, OSC? Has there ever been a dish that you didn't like, but made and kind of turned you around to it? If not, how would you improve on a dish you didn't like just for you? Happy holidays to you and yours, bud. Thank you, Savage Cabbage. No. The only dish I've ever made that I don't like is homemade cranberry sauce. I forgot to make that this Thanksgiving, but I usually make that, you know, for the other people at the Thanksgiving who might enjoy it, and but don't give a shit. It is weird to cook something that you know that you're not going to enjoy or even eat, and I didn't eat it. I mean, I tasted it, you know, while I was cooking it to make sure all the proper flavors were there. But yeah, make a homemade cranberry sauce. didn't even eat it. I'm trying to think of something else. No, I mean, that's a weird thing. I mean, I understand when you're a parent, You know, you got a big family, inevitably you're going to wind up cooking stuff for your kids or whomever that maybe you don't like. But I don't have that issue. I only cook for me and Katie. And there's nothing I cook for her that I personally don't like. So, yeah, I wish I had a more interesting answer there, Savage Cabbage, but not really. Oh, man. Sorry, I had to pause. I've had, like, this scratchy throat. I don't have a sore throat, per se. I've just had this. I think the more I talk, the more I aggravate my throat. Scratchy throat. I've had sinus and throat issues ever since I moved to Los Angeles 8 years ago. Seriously, I thought about it recently. Maybe I should go to the doctor. I don't know. But, yeah, I guess it's the air quality or maybe different allergic stuff, allergens that maybe I didn't have growing up. But, yeah, something about the air out here. I just constantly got a sinus thing. Dave's medical kitchen. Dave Lafler, making a ham for Christmas. It's straight from the pig, not prepared or seasoned in any way. What would you do to it for Christmas? Okay, so you've got, are you saying you have the ham cut, but it's not, yeah, it's not a ham per se in that it hasn't been cured or salted or anything of that nature. Man, I'd treat, if it were me, if you have access to a smoker, I'd treat it just like a big-ass pork shoulder, and I would rub that sucker down with a little olive oil, hit it with some salt and pepper, a little garlic powder, a little onion powder, a little smoked paprika, maybe a little cayenne, maybe a little brown sugar, rub that shit down real good and smoke that son of a bitch. That's what I would do. If you don't have a smoker, you could probably take a similar approach, but just roast it in the oven. But yeah, I think that would probably work, man. So if you got a smoker, treat it like a big pork shoulder. That'd be good. Old shit clops. Dave, not a kitchen question, but what were the rejected names for the podcast? Did you have a few ideas and settle on the Boogie Monster? Hope you have a safe and wonderful holiday season. Best shit clops. We had one other option that Kyle came up with, and I thought that this was a great name, and I actually would like to borrow it and maybe name a comedy album one day in the future. Kyle came up with the Boogie Monster also. He had two options, two choices. He had the Boogie Monster, and he had Dip Shittery. I think Dip Shittery is a great name for a podcast, and as you know, that's a pretty accurate way to describe our podcast. But I like Boogie Monster, but I was like, oh, Dip Shittery. That's great. And, ultimately, he chose, the Boogie Monster, but, yeah, Dip Shittery. And I've only heard that phrase used one other time my whole life. I've never heard anybody in person use it, but in, season one of Fargo. Fargo fans will remember that when, Gus Grimley, screws up and lets Lorne Malvo go without even checking his license or tag, and then they find out that the car was stolen and possibly used in a murder, and he goes to confess his mistake to his lieutenant, who's taking a dump, and then the lieutenant finishes up his dump, and he's like, you did what? Blah, blah, blah. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to contact Bemidji police, and you're going to take full responsibility for this fuck-up, therefore absolving us from any dipshittery. It's the only time I've ever heard that used outside of Kyle and I. That's just something we both, I don't know who came up with the phrase. It happens a lot when you hang out with comedians. Like, it's like, oh, wait, did I come up with that or did you come up with that? But regardless, he and I had used Dip Shittery before. If I'm being honest, Kyle probably came up with it. He's got a better joke mind than I do. He's so quick with coming up with the funny shit on the off the cuff, but yeah, we used to occasionally just toss around the word dipshittery, and when we were talking about doing a podcast, I thought that was a great idea, but the rest is history. There you go, shit claps, Frank. This year I'm making a rib roast on the Traeger for Christmas. I have two non-holiday questions. I like bullet bourbon too, specifically bullet rye. How do you drink yours? I love Cuban sandwiches, but we don't have anywhere near me that makes them. How would you make a Cuban sandwich? Sorry, it's so long. Love Boogie Monster and the Stonebergs. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Frank. Yeah, just talked about the bourbon. ideally, bourbon and Coke. I love a bourbon and Coke. You know, it's fun too. Bourbon and Dr. Pepper every now and then. That's a nice little treat. Bourbon and cherry Coke. Bourbon and vanilla Coke. Let's talk about your favorite kind of sodas, Dave. So yeah, that's how I like a good bourbon and Coke. I'm not a huge fan of the rye though. The rye is just too particular of a taste there. I'm not a huge fan of the rye, so I always go with the orange label bullet. Cuban sandwich. Oh man, one of life's great pleasures. Not a whole lot to it, really. Pretty simple. What is it? French bread. You need some good, fresh, soft French bread. And then what? You need some ham and you need some pork. You need some Swiss. You need some yellow mustard and you need some pickles. That's all you need, man. But yeah, I guess the pork would be the biggest challenge there in terms of, you got to get you some pork, maybe roast it in the oven. If you have a smoker, there you go. Real smoked pulled pork on a Cuban, barbecue Cuban, get out of town. But yeah, just some sort of shredded or pulled pork, some nice sliced deli ham, good Swiss cheese, little yellow mustard, little pickle. There you go. Boom. And then, I guess, what is the traditional way they smash it down, panini style? You know, if you want to press, if you got a panini press or something, that would work. If not, just, kind of smash it down with your hands. And that way everything's kind of compacted and aerodynamic and, cut it on a dais there, cut on a nice angle. And, man, God, if you guys are ever in Atlanta, there's a place in Midtown called Pappy's, P-A-P-I, Pappy's, and amazing. Absolutely amazing Cuban sandwiches. And they also have a ropa vieja sandwich, which, if you don't know, is kind of the shredded beef version. Also comes with Swiss cheese. And the sandwiches used to be about $8, and probably about an 8 or 9 inch sandwich, not a foot long, but not a 6 inch, somewhere in between. And then they'll cut it in half. And what the play is, I would go there all the time with my good buddy Andy Sanford. If you guys don't know Andy, New York comic, absolutely just brilliant, brilliant comedian. But when we both lived in Atlanta, we would go to Pappy's together at least once a week. And one of us would order the Cuban, one of us would order the Ropa Vieja, and then, of course, they cut it in half, and then we'd just share. Give me a piece of that, I'll give you a piece of this, boom, boom, boom. So I had half a Cuban and half a Ropa, and boy, that was a good way to spend a dinner. A little Cuban sandwich action. So, yeah. That's something I don't eat. That's funny to say that I don't eat enough of. But yeah, one of my New Year's resolutions, I'm going to commit myself to drinking more alcohol and more Cuban sandwiches. Mike, Christmas Eve. I come from a big Italian family from New Jersey. So we always have the Feast of the Seven Fish spread. I am completely unfamiliar with this, but I'm very excited. Feast of the Seven Fish spread, fried calamari, clams and spaghetti, baked flounder stuffed with mussels and crabs, holy shit, shrimp scampi, and usually a seafood stew to go to round things off. But I'm sure I left a bunch out. Christmas Day, Italian wedding soup, and manicotti, good manicotti. And of course, a nice bunch of traditional cookies. Can't beat those. Question, what's your favorite Christmas cookie? And have you ever fucked with an eggnog pie? No, I haven't, eggnog pie. But I like the way that sounds. And I already answered the cookie question. Chocolate chip. Don't really care too much. That's not something I grew up. One part of my tradition was Christmas cookies, per se. But when you talk about a nice bunch of traditional cookies, I'm sure those are great if they're homemade and stuff. But when I think of Christmas cookies, I think of sugar cookies with frosting, Santa Claus hat frosting or sprinkles, or those the tin of little crunchy, crumbly cookies with the big sugar. Like the sugar version of kosher salt. I don't know what that is, but you know what I mean? Like the big granules of sugar. That stuff's fine, but it never, never really got me excited. So I don't know if chocolate chip counts necessarily as Christmas, but I'm a fan of that. Guys, that's all the questions. Thank you so much. As always, sincerely, 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 we appreciate the hell out of the support. We appreciate the patronage. If you enjoy all this stupid content, feel free to spread the word. $4 a month.
Also, not confirmed yet, but you've heard Kyle and I talk about video. We're still trying to figure all that out in terms of who's going to edit it and what our process with all that is. But more than likely, the video will only be available to you guys. So we're going to put that up. I don't think we're going to increase the tier. I don't know. More than likely, everything will stay the same, $4. We're just going to add the video, and then hopefully that will attract more patrons to our page. And yeah, we'll see. But yeah, that's what's in store for us coming up in the new year. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. I know it's a crazy year. You don't need me to remind you that. But yeah, just again, the fact that our numbers went up during all of this chaos, when people are getting laid off and the economy's so bad, the fact that our patrons increased means the world to both of us. So we definitely appreciate you. Take some pics of some of these recipes and stuff that you guys are making for the holidays. Feel free to send them to me. Where, you know, again, I'm not good at juggling all my different streams of messaging, whether it be email or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. But I guess, yeah, you know what? I've given this out before. DaveStoneComedy@gmail.com. I check that one every day, obviously, because it's my personal one. I tend to neglect the Boogie Monster one sometimes. I apologize for that. But send me some pics on Instagram or email me at DaveStoneComedy@gmail.com. And yeah, I want to see what you guys make this year. This is very exciting for me as well. We've been through a lot, you and I. And I've seen you guys grow, and I've seen you guys learn. And I want to see the fruits of your labor, and want to see how these recipes turn out. So, guys, have a great Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Just be safe, be healthy. Yeah, man. And again, a reminder, Boogie Monster itself is on hiatus till probably that first week of January. So would that be January 5th? We should have your regular bonus Q&A coming up soon. If I can wrangle Kyle, we'll try to get that up before the end of the year, end of the month. But yeah, stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you soon. Love you guys. Bye-bye.